Hey there, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica, and this is All Things Sensory by Harkla. Together, we're on a mission to help children, families, therapists, and educators live happy, healthy lives.
We dive into all things sensory, special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and so much more. In each episode, we share raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for everyone to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another fantastic episode of All Things Sensory by Harkla. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And today we are going to talk about toothbrushing and why it is so freaking hard for our sensory kiddos.
We're not only going to talk about why it's challenging, but we're also going to give you a breakdown of the underlying skills required, some, of course, tips and tricks as to why we can help make it a little bit easier for you. And then we do have some questions from you that we're going to get to at the end of the episode.
Okay. So first, let's talk about the different components that go into toothbrushing and why did kiddos struggle with these specific areas, these components. We're just going to break it down.
Yep. So the first one, executive functioning challenges. So kids who struggle with things like attention and sequencing, organizing, all of these skills are required for toothbrushing. And if they struggle in these areas, then it's definitely going to be challenging to sequence and organize and attend to toothbrushing.
Yeah, you need to have enough attention to gather your materials, enough attention to complete the actual toothbrushing, and then enough attention to clean up and finish. And I mean, that's a good 5-minute process probably, right?
Yep. So going along with that, we have to sequence the steps of gathering the materials, putting it all together and cleaning it up, rinsing our mouth. So sequencing the actual steps of toothbrushing. I mean, if you get the order of operations wrong here, who knows what's going to happen?
Not going to work. Yep. And then the other part is the organization. So being able to organize all of the materials for toothbrushing. And this includes visually organizing and seeing everything, knowing where it is and where to put it back when you're finished. Just that organization of materials and self can be really hard.
Yep. So the next area we're going to look at is the fine motor skills. So kids who have decreased hand strength, dexterity, they have upper body limitations, they're definitely going to struggle with being able to brush their teeth successfully.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have good dexterity to manipulate the toothpaste bottle and especially the cap to like twist it on and off. Mm-hmm. And then you have to manipulate the toothbrush to move it around the mouth in all the different, you know, angles and directions.
Yeah, it's really awkward sometimes too. And you have to have the upper body strength and the mid-range control to be able to hold your arm up against gravity. And so a great example of empathy, because we love talking about empathy, is try brushing your own teeth with your opposite hand. So that way you can get a feel kind of what your child is going through if they are struggling with brushing their teeth.
Have you ever tried brushing your teeth with your opposite hand? It's so hard.
And I'm kind of ambidextrous too, so you'd think that it'd be okay. Right. Oh, God, no.
No, it's so hard.
So awkward. And just like moving your hand in like an organized, like fluid motion and like rotating the toothbrush in your fingers, it's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's much so fine motor control with it.
Yeah.
Okay. The next area that can be really challenging for our kiddos is oral motor. And kiddos who struggle with oral motor skills are really going to have challenges with toothbrushing, especially if they have poor lip control, poor tongue control. This is going to affect their ability to tolerate the toothbrush in their mouth, but also to control their saliva and the toothpaste.
Yes. These are the kiddos who most likely are picky eaters, they're messy eaters, maybe they gag really easily, and they probably don't know how to spit out the water or the toothpaste or even gargle as well.
Yeah, and these are the kids who probably are going to avoid toothbrushing and be like, no, 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 I don't want to do it because it's so hard, it's so uncomfortable, it feels unnatural for them, and they're just going to completely avoid it.
Yeah, you think about tasks that we avoid as adults, I'm talking personal here. I do not like doing things that are hard for me.
No.
So our kids definitely are similar in that respect, in that when something's hard, when something's uncomfortable and weird and they have adverse reactions, of course it's going to show up as a behavior and they're going to avoid it and dislike it. So that's another empathy component there. God, there's so many.
It's all empathy.
So the next one is tactile processing. So kids who dislike certain textures, you think about your tactile system. Most of us think that it is just on our skin, on our body. But if you've listened to any of our previous episodes, you know that we do have a lot of tactile receptors in our mouth, which is why we can have tactile defensiveness during tasks like toothbrushing.
And going along with oral motor and tactile is gustatory challenges. So being able to tolerate the taste, the flavor, the texture of the toothpaste, of the toothbrush itself, whether it's a vibrating toothbrush or just a regular toothbrush, just being able to tolerate all of that input, that taste, the smell, tolerating all of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, now that you know why it can be challenging, I think it's time we move to our tips, tricks, and strategy section of this episode.
This is why you're here.
We've all been waiting for. Okay. So first one here, you probably know what we're going to say already if you've listened to any of our episodes. If this is your first episode that you're listening to, this is a strategy that we recommend for just about every ailment.
That's pretty much everything.
So it's using a visual schedule.
Okay, so this can include a visual schedule of the entire morning routine or the entire evening routine, or a visual schedule breaking down the sequence of the steps for brushing teeth, being very specific with each step. And this is perfect for those kiddos who struggle with attention and executive functioning because they might need that little extra help to see what they need to do and when they need to do it.
So the next one is using a timer. So some sort of visual timer. Again, it's a visual tool, but it can help with attention. So whether it's a sand timer, whether it is an app, we love that Brush Ease app, and we'll link that in the show notes. But it has a song, it has a timer, and it has a visual that the kiddos can kind of follow along in the monster's mouth. And the song is really funny, and it'll be stuck in your head all day.
Well, and I think that app specifically, and I'm sure there's others, but it makes it more fun and motivating too. And we want to make toothbrushing more fun and motivating for these kids when it's hard. And so sometimes using technology can be very helpful.
Yeah. So timers, apps. The next one is brushing teeth. So practice brushing teeth on a doll or like one of those mouth toys, you know, that you like, wind up and it goes.
I was going to say like fake dentures.
Yes. Or vampire teeth.
Yes.
Halloween. And use a toothbrush to clean dirt off these toys. So maybe not on a doll unless it's a plastic doll. But, you know, if you take like a dry erase marker and draw dirt on the teeth. And then they have to brush it off with the toothbrush. And so that way they can visually see yep. the dirt on the teeth. And, you know, they've got dirt on their own teeth that they have to brush and get clean. So,
and this is a great way for them to practice the dexterity and object manipulation of the toothbrush, especially if maybe you are holding the mouth toy or the doll up in the air. So they're having to hold their arms up against gravity, manipulate that toothbrush in different directions to just really practice that.
Mm-hmm. It's not exactly the same as brushing their own teeth, but they can at least get a lot of the underlying skills built in order to more successfully brush their own teeth.
Exactly. So the next one kind of goes along with this is, but if you don't have any of these toy items available, just draw a mouth with teeth on a whiteboard or a chalkboard, you know, color them in really dirty and then use the toothbrush to clean them off. So, you know, just if you don't have the actual, you know, toy teeth, this is another option.
Yeah. So another thing that you can try is to change the tools that you use. So try different types of toothbrushes, different toothpaste, find what your child can tolerate or the child that you're working with, find what motivates them, find what's exciting to them, let them help pick it out. Vibrating toothbrushes are great. Finger brushes are great just to change it up and change the textures all the sensory components that could be negatively impacting them.
Yeah. Okay. If your child doesn't tolerate the toothbrush in their mouth, so they refuse to put the toothbrush in their mouth and they don't like you putting the toothbrush in their mouth, then some ideas for that is going to be to just do it really quick and fast. So do one quick swipe of the brush over their teeth. Maybe you're doing it while you're singing a song, making silly faces, doing it in front of the mirror. You're going to want to make it really silly and really fun. You're going to have to fake it till you make it because it's not really fun and there's a lot of stress involved if you're at this point. But you just do a quick swipe, make it silly and fun, do another quick swipe on the other side. Maybe you do this while you're brushing your teeth so they can also help you do it and you take turns back and forth and just make it quick, fast, fun, and silly.
Hey everyone, we gotta take a quick minute and share some exciting news with you.
We are doing a brand new challenge that starts in January.
We're calling it the 30-Day Primitive Reflex Challenge.
We're going to focus on 4 of the common primitive reflexes. Each week will be a different primitive reflex, and we're going to show you different activities to complete.
The challenge will be hosted on a private Instagram account, and it's only $5 to join.
We're going to have demo videos. You're going to get freebies. It's going to be on Instagram. So we're also going to have stories and live videos. It's going to be amazing.
Yes. You'll also get a special discount for our full Primitive Reflex course after you've completed the 30-day challenge with us.
So since you're ready to sign up and join us for this challenge in January, you can go to the link in the show notes or go to our Instagram at All Things Sensory Podcast and join via the link in bio.
Okay, let's get back to the episode. Okay, another tip that you can try is to work on one of the underlying skills, which is desensitizing their mouth and their oral structures during the day. So you can do more activities using what we call the Z Vibe. It's from Arc Therapeutic. It's called the Z Vibe. It's a great tool. It's a little like vibrating probe or wand that you can use and get inside their mouth, and then vibrating teethers that they can bite and vibrate. And so they get a little bit of that desensitization throughout the day. So you're not necessarily just going to be doing it before they're brushing their teeth. Maybe do it before brushing their teeth, but you just have to incorporate these activities throughout the day to help prep them for toothbrushing.
I was just thinking too, Arc Therapeutic does have one of the tips for their Z Vibe looks like a toothbrush, like a little mini toothbrush. So if you get the Z Vibe and you pick out your tips, make sure you get one that has the one that looks like the toothbrush. And once your child starts tolerating the Z Vibe, maybe they love the Z Vibe during the day, start incorporating the toothbrush tip and have them practice brushing their teeth with that toothbrush tip.
Love that. Yep. Very helpful. So the next one, we're going to talk a little bit about like spitting, because I've had a lot of comments come in of therapists struggling to teach kids how to spit.
Yes.
It's a hard skill to like verbally, visually teach. Mm-hmm. And so what I found is helpful is to say two. And so if you have them say two into the sink, then they'll slowly get the hang of it. So just practice without anything in their mouth, and then, you know, maybe water in their mouth, whatever you have at your house to practice spitting. But hopefully the more that they practice, the more they get the hang of it, the more fun it will be. And then they'll, you know, be able to spit after they brush their teeth, and they'll love it.
I think too, this one just takes a lot of consistency. You have to practice it every single day. You can't just practice it once or twice and be like, oh, nope, they don't know how to do it. No, you got to do this every single day.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those skills that I don't know. Do kids just naturally learn how to do this on their own? Or is it, I feel like it's something we have to teach them.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to Logan when he was young. And we definitely had to teach him. But, you know, he is considered neurotypical. So he caught on pretty quickly after we started teaching him. And we just would demonstrate, we would make the sounds. You know, he caught on pretty quick. So I think no matter what, we do have to teach spitting.
Yeah. Is this something that I need to be teaching Trip at 14 months old?
I think so. Well, you're starting brushing his teeth, right? You just did a story. You guys are already starting brushing teeth. So yeah.
Poof. All the things. No pressure.
No pressure, but you should do that.
All All right. So going along with spitting is gargling. And gargling can actually be a really like calming activity for the vagus nerve. And so it's a great skill to just teach and work on and have them have it in their toolbox. But you can kind of just make a loud exhale or a throat clearing noise first, and then tip the head back and then make the same noise. So practice without water. And then once they kind of have those sounds, then they can practice with water if you're feeling feisty and brave.
I'm feeling feisty. Okay, so some other ideas are to just do more oral motor games during the day. So this goes right along with desensitizing the mouth and doing, you know, vibration throughout the day, but also just more oral motor games. We love the company Super Duper. They have an oral motor card deck, and you can also do a lot of blowing games with or without straws. And this just helps to make those oral structures stronger, provides them the opportunity to gain more control over their oral structures, especially if you're blowing through a straw. And so those can be great games to incorporate throughout the day.
Yes. Now going along with that, we want to include more fine motor, mid-range control, and dexterity activities during the day as well. So we're going to incorporate those activities during play. We're going to stack block towers. We're going to play Jenga. We're going to use tongs and tweezers and transfer items and push pieces together and pull them apart, build Legos. Any fine motor game or activity is going to be helpful to build those underlying skills.
Yep. So hopefully you got a couple of new ideas here. I think the big thing, two big things that I want you to take away. One is empathy. Mm-hmm. Understand that if your child doesn't tolerate toothbrushing, there's a reason why. We need to find out the why. We need to empathize that it's a real problem. And then the other one is consistency. You have to be consistent with these strategies and these tools to help your child become successful with toothbrushing.
I feel like these episodes, these like one topic, very specific episodes are great. So let us know, leave us a review on iTunes if these are helpful, if you find some good tips. And then while you're listening, take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at All Things Sensory Podcast, because we'd love to see you listening and learning with us.
Yes. Okay. Hopefully you're still with us, because we're going to answer two questions from some of our great listeners.
Yeah. I think these were on Instagram, right?
Yes. They're all from, yeah. Yes. Yep. Okay. So the first question is, I need some strategies for a kid who's 7 years old or older to be able to take medicine, either pills or the bad looking, bad tasting syrup for like antibiotics. I really like this question, because this is something that I think most parents probably deal with at some point. But then, of course, for our sensory kiddos, it's extra hard.
Yeah. So the first thing that comes to mind is like a pill. I've heard that using yogurt or applesauce or Jell-O or pudding and putting the pills in there can be a good way to not necessarily hide it, but like help get it down, because it's a little bit thicker and they don't necessarily feel it going down.
Yeah. So Logan actually struggled with this a couple of years ago. He got sick, and so we were giving him, you know, some pills for medicine, because it's all we had. And he had a really, really hard time. He was probably like, I don't know, maybe 5.
I was not swallowing pills at 5.
So what we did is we cut them up into real, real small pieces, and then fed it to him with, I think it was probably Jell-O, and put like a little tiny piece in with the Jell-O, and he just had to swallow it. It took a lot of tries. It was really hard, but he definitely, you know, he got there.
Can he swallow pills now?
Yes. Yeah. Now he can just like put it on the back of his tongue, get a drink and swallow.
Yeah.
But at the time, cutting it up and putting it with a bite of a preferred food item, definitely helpful.
I think the only like caveat to that is to make sure that the pills are safe to be cut up, because I know some pills you can't cut.
Sure.
Or it's not recommended to cut.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a challenge. But the syrup, yuck, I agree. It's terrible. I'm wondering if using like a preferred drink before and after could be helpful.
It's like a chaser.
Yes. like a chocolate milk or something like thick, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That can kind of, I mean, water doesn't necessarily like wash the flavor away, but something like chocolate milk, I'm feeling.
Or like even like a bite of food.
A smoothie. Could you put the syrup in a smoothie?
Maybe that could be an option.
Yeah.
I was also thinking of like using a syringe. This is going to sound so bad, but like squirt it down their throat. If possible, maybe that's easier.
Yeah. I mean, that way it doesn't necessarily hit all their taste buds, right? It just goes down the hatch.
Yeah.
I know Angela Blymiller and Sean Blymiller, they do that with Theo.
Yep.
Their little boy. And he's to the point now where he'll do the syringe on his own and he'll just shoot it down.
Yep.
So, and you know, syringes are novel and different and fun. And I mean, maybe if you practice with something that isn't medicine beforehand and that maybe you just syringe chocolate milk. I don't know why chocolate milk is coming to my mind right now, but if you have them syringe something like that
first,
that way they kind of know what's expected.
Yeah. I like that idea. I think incorporating a preferred drink or food item for any medicine is going to be helpful though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a tricky one.
It is. This is like a personal struggle for me because I struggled with taking pills. My brother struggled with taking pills. My dad was trying to teach us by like taking 17 M&Ms and swallowing them all at once to be like, it's not hard. And I'm like, stop.
Okay. I'm sorry. Are you exaggerating when you say 17?
You know, the mini M&Ms, right?
Oh my gosh.
You can take a handful of mini M&Ms and swallow them.
Oh my goodness. Okay. But also maybe that is a strategy, is practice with like little pieces of candy to swallow.
Sure.
First. Maybe one at a time. I can't wait for your mom to listen to this.
I know. Thanks guys. Teaching me all the ways from the start. Okay. Let's move on. You don't need to hear about my lifelong battles growing up.
Okay. Next question is, I work with a kiddo who's very oral. He bites me. So how do I go about switching his biting of skin to getting him to bite something else? We've already tried chews, Z Vibes, and washcloths. Okay. I want to know why he's biting you. Like what's his trigger?
Is it a proprioceptive seeking behavior? Is it a behavior? Is he trying to get attention? Are you reacting? Do we need to ignore it and redirect and maybe not bring any attention to it and just offer?
Yeah, there's a couple of things here. I think one is finding out like why he's doing it. You know, can you identify before he bites you that he's about to bite you? You know, like see his trigger, know his trigger, and be able to redirect before he bites you. And then like, what's his cognitive level too? Like, can you talk about, you know, expected versus unexpected behaviors? Or is he at a cognitive level where that conversation's not appropriate? Maybe like a vibrating teether, you know, if you haven't tried the vibrating teether, that's a really good one.
So when maybe they bite it, it gives them that vibration, that feedback.
Yeah. What about giving him like one of the Homedics vibrating massagers and he can put it, you know, let him have control of it and he can put the vibration on his neck and his face and his head to get a lot of that proprioceptive feedback to the oral structures, but always letting him control that part.
Yeah. Maybe trying a jaw massage or like a head massage. Some kids really love that pressure to their chin. And so if it's something that he's like trying to get that proprioception, what about a mouth guard? What about like a rubber mouth guard?
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I don't know.
That could be something to try maybe.
Hopefully this like gets your wheels turning. Cause I know when you're in a situation as a therapist like this and you just kind of feel stuck, hopefully, you know, us just brainstorming out loud will be beneficial for you.
So I know who put this question in and we've chatted with her before. So feel free to send us a message and let us know your thoughts after listening to our brainstorm.
All right. Well, that wraps up our questions. If you have a question you'd like us to answer on the podcast, then you can send it to us either via DM on Instagram at All Things Sensory Podcast, or we have posts on our Instagram feed for that are specific for podcast episodes. So you can find one of those posts and send us your question there.
Okay. Yes. Please send us all your questions.
All right. Thank you for being here.
And we will talk to you next time.
Okay. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla. If you want more information on anything we mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get all of the show notes.
We always have the show notes and links, plus full transcripts to make following along as easy as possible for everyone. If you have follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is @harkla_family. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla, whether it's for one of our digital courses, one of our sensory swings. The discount code SENSORY will save you 10%. That code is SENSORY. Head over to harkla.co/sensory to use that code right now so you don't forget.
We're so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.